Welcome to another Summer Sermon MP3 from Lawson Heights Alliance Church. This Sunday, Pastor Tyler will be speaking, and he will be sharing a message called Hannah Prays. May God bless you as you listen.
Father, we are so thankful that you do raise us up. When storms are coming, when things are going great, we look to you to raise us up, to keep our eyes focused on what you'd have for us, what really matters in life. And so as we come and turn to your scriptures, we thank you for your scriptures, how you reveal yourself to us. And so may your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and empower us to understand your scriptures in a way better than anyone can ever explain, but in a way that your Holy Spirit leads and guides. We look to you to reveal to us what you have for us today, what you have for us every day. So I pray that as I share from your word this morning, that you would be honored in it. And once again, we just thank you so much for salvation in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I'm so thankful when so many people take opportunity, even on their holidays, to serve. And so it's been a blessing to be able to be served here this morning. I don't know if many people look forward to that when you have holidays. Usually that's kind of okay, we can take a break. We're not going to go anywhere, not going to do anything. But I'm just thankful for those that just look for opportunities to serve, to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever you go and whatever you do. And there's sometimes when, you know, you plan holidays and things go just exactly like you had planned. And then there's times where you plan your holidays and nothing goes according to a plan. Well, a couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity of taking a missions team to Mexico City, July 5th to 13th. There were six of us. It wasn't a holiday, but it was a trip that we had planned, we had prepared for. We had this great plan. Many of you have already heard a lot of these stories already, but as we prepared to go, we were just thankful for the opportunity to go, and I kept, in the weeks prior, just before we were going, many of you have been praying for our house to sell in Manitoba. Well, we had an offer on our house, and then a storm came, and the basement flooded. So we got to Manitoba, we cleaned it all up, and then another storm came, and the basement flooded again, a different way. And so we had two floodings in our basement within a week in Manitoba. So we had snuck away. Pastor Mike let me sneak away for a little bit to take care of the flooding in my house. Very thankful for that. And, you know, we came back, and I was chatting with a friend in the parking lot of our apartments, and I said, you know, it's almost like God is just preparing us through these. We didn't plan for this, we didn't know what was going to happen, but preparing us for maybe something crazy that's going to happen next week in Mexico City. Now, our goal is that everything would go according to plan, but there's sometimes God just turns it upside down, and there's often he prepares us for what he's already got prepared for us. And so it was very difficult those 4 or 5 days that we were away cleaning up again and again after these floods. But God was preparing us for something. We didn't know what. And I knew that God had provided that house to live in when we did live there. And so I knew in my heart I couldn't be angry at what God had provided for us. So we just cleaned up and came back. And then when we did head off to Mexico City, again and again and again, the things that we planned didn't quite work out according to plan. On our flight down, everything looked great. All the flights were good. However, when we arrived in Houston, our flight was the only one that was canceled. There was a plane that was supposed to come in and then pick us up in Houston, take us to Mexico City. That one didn't arrive on time. There was apparently a volcano erupting. Guess that's a big enough excuse. So our plane didn't get to us. So we didn't get to where we needed to go on time, but we were able to catch standby and come a couple hours later. And then when we arrived in Mexico City, we're supposed to go to San Pablito, a remote village about 4 hours northeast of the city. When we arrived there, we were told that we were uninvited. Now was not a good time to go visit. There's some stuff going on in the local church. So everything that we had planned for the week was put on hold. So that made it very interesting. But our missionaries, Heather Hahn and Jeff Brown, who was her intern, is now back home. They had planned and prepared for us to just meet with people and care for people. So we had a fantastic time being able to just focus on those people and to love them. As well, though, as we went throughout the week, it wasn't long and one of us got sick. A few of us kind of, you know, weren't feeling 100% healthy. But there's on Monday, one of our team members had to take a knee and sit out for that day pretty much and rest up, and for the rest of the week, we're pretty much all good. But then it came on Wednesday, we were driving to go somewhere, and Heather Hahn, her fan belt basically fell off, fell apart, shred by shred. Many of you may remember I had a piece of it that I brought back as a souvenir. Fan belt is usually about an inch long, and there was one little rib that was holding it on when we made it to the garage. Praise God, we made it to the garage. But all these things just kept interrupting, and our team did an amazing job at just focusing on just who were there to serve and to care for the people. So thankful for that. We had a plan, we had prepared, and I think the best thing that our team had done to prepare was set our hearts focused on being willing to do whatever God wanted them to do. The reality is that each of us, we plan, we prepare, but nothing goes according to plan, but it's not always that everything in life goes according to plan. There's these things that trouble us, these things that are heavy on our hearts. In many families, there's things that are heavy on our hearts. For me, there's a few things that are heavy on my heart. One thing I know is, for myself, I grew up in Lloydminster. One of my first encounters with Christ was when I was in junior high. I got invited to summer camp and learned all about Christ, and then introduction to that, and then was able to get plugged into youth group and church, and that's where I fell in love with God, realizing that I needed to place my faith in Jesus and turn away from my sin. But I'm the only one in my family that has kind of taken that step, that has placed faith in Christ. And so sometimes that weighs heavy on our hearts, knowing how severe, how important it is to follow Christ. There's many things that are heavy on our hearts. And so this morning, we're going to take a peek into 1 Samuel chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. There's a lady here named Hannah, and we're going to see what she does, as there's some things that definitely weigh heavy on her heart. 1 Samuel chapter 1, start with reading verses 1 to 7. There was a certain man from Ramathim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one was called Hannah, and the other Penaniah. Penaniah had children, and Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went out from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Penaniah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and wouldn't even eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Here in this passage of Scripture, we see Elkanah, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, Hannah and Penaniah, but only Penaniah had children. And so this isn't a recipe here of how to build a healthy family, of having multiple wives. This is what they did, and we'll learn a little later that not everything everyone did in the Scriptures was always 100% right. For us, we have the commandment, two people coming together to make a family. Yearly pilgrimages took him to Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas were priests. There was somewhat of a bitter rivalry between the two wives about their ability to bear children, though Elkanah was considerate and loving to his wife. One first thing we can take notice of here in this passage of Scripture this morning is that we can worship God when we face emotional pain and persistent provoking. We can worship God when we face emotional pain and persistent provoking. There are times in life when it feels like everything is out to get us, where Murphy's Law is just right there on his doorstep every single day. Hannah's pain was more than she could bear. A barren wife was seen as an embarrassment in the ancient world. Children were gifts of God, but they were also important economically and in their social structure. It almost seems like she was longing for more than just to change diapers, more than just to feed someone, more than to just waste all her money at the X on her kids, longing for more than just to be told time and time again that you're old. She was longing for purpose. She was longing more than just to raise children who do well. She was longing to raise children who would honor God. Her motives were pure. She wanted to serve her husband and love God in that way. We say that as we look at this passage here, we might say that having children today is a little bit different, that a lady's worth or a lady's value isn't based upon how many children she has, but it's still a very important part of our lives. Many people, having children is a huge portion of our lives here. Children have a larger impact in our culture and our society than most people realize. Most couples, though, don't begin families with the same pure motives that Hannah has. For many people, they aren't necessarily just content of having and raising children. Their goal is to be proud of their children, to have children who do amazing, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what a great opportunity is to look at your kids and to raise them up in such a way that they would serve and follow God. And if there are many of those who don't have children, and so there's many opportunities for them to serve God and honor God, but this is what Hannah was longing for here at this point. God had let Hannah's lot be a tough one, and the history writer here knows that the bitterness that had entered her heart, her own spirit. One might have thought that this would make her hesitant or angry about praying to the God who had closed her womb. There's times where tough things happen in our life, and the last thing we want to do is just come to God and worship, come to God and pray, come to God and sacrifice. And unfortunately, too often, there's many people that blame God for the things that happen. But Hannah here, with her womb closed, continues to come again and again, year after year, worshiping God in the midst of her pain. Hannah brought sacrifice year after year. She didn't give up. Even though it was painful, she never gave up. Many people have a tough time at work, and most, if not all, kids are bullied at school. We face pain and troubles in this world. Well, let's continue to read on and see what she does. Elkanah, her husband, in verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8, Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once, when they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair at the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." And she said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Now, in this passage here, there's quite a variety of things. And in fact, this whole portion of Scripture here, there's lots of things that we can be gleaning from, lots of things that we can learn from it. But here, unfortunately, there's two excellent examples of how not to display empathy. Her husband, with great intentions, like many men who have come after him, tried to share some advice. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know where his response came from. But she's downhearted, and she just longs to have a son, long to have children. And he says to her, "Aren't I good enough? Like, I'm pretty awesome here. Like, do you need sons? You've got me." And although that's true, she had him. She had his love. That wasn't quite the answer that she was looking for. He tries, like many of us men do, but really what we should do is listen and maybe even join in her sorrow. Have you ever been the recipient of maybe some of that kind of advice? some of the kind of advice where maybe somebody should just listen, but they share some advice. Now, Michelle, you're not allowed to answer that. But there's times in life where there's just things that are weighing heavy on our heart, and we're not looking for the right answer. We just need somebody to listen. And I think her husband kind of misses out on that. I think sometimes there's different kind of advices that come with good intentions and definitely are not humble. As I was listening to internet radio this past week, there's an internet radio station I like called Air One, a positive Christian radio station I just really enjoy listening to. And so one random little piece of information the radio announcer had said, she had been a little frustrated with her week, and so she had actually shared four things that she had heard as a single lady that apparently we should not say to a single woman. Four things should not say to a single one. Don't worry, the right guy is out there for you. Number two, is this your boyfriend? Number three, TikTok, aren't you getting old? And number four, maybe you're just trying too hard. So sometimes we say these things, sometimes there's things that kind of creep into our vocabulary, we say to people with good intentions, trying to encourage them, trying to motivate them, but there's sometimes where we need to, where it's valuable to just listen. And I think that's what her husband should have done here. In so many of life's situations, being a good listener is important. I've been learning that one the hard way, slowly over the years. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we balance our good advice with a double portion of good listening. In her distress, Hannah prayed to the Lord. She prayed to Yahweh for a son and promised to dedicate him to the Lord. God is so big, we can trust him. God wants us to turn to him when we're hurting, just like Hannah does. And so the second thing we'll take note of here is that we can approach God's throne of grace with vibrant prayers by his grace through Jesus. We can approach God's throne with vibrant prayers by his grace through Jesus. Hebrews 4, verse 16 would say, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace," draw near to God, "that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." Now, many of you may have things that aren't, you're going through life and you're enjoying life and things are going just fine, enjoying the summer, and you don't have a lot of needs, it feels like. But if we think deep down, within our life network, there are people that we know that don't know Christ. There are some pretty huge needs out there. But I think, for the most part, for many of us, we can think of things that weigh heavy on our hearts. In this world, we face trials and our faith will be put to test. But when we follow Jesus, who has overcome the world, she was so distraught, it was consuming her life. She couldn't eat. It was affecting her physically, and down in the depths of her soul, she was burdened. And she promised God that if he blessed her with a son, she would celebrate by committing him to God. In verse 14 here, we have a second example of how not to display empathy. Eli mistakes her for someone who is drunk. Now, I kind of want to almost cut him a little bit of slack here. If we look at the scriptures here, realize at the end of the meal, she had got up and she had went. Her mouth was moving, but nothing was coming out. From outward appearance, unfortunately, it had happened more than once, that's for sure, that people who were celebrating, even the Israelites, even people who follow God, people were celebrating, and in their celebrations, they drank too much wine. And so Eli had seen this before, where somebody was on the footsteps, and unfortunately, drunk. So he jumps to the conclusion here and says, "What are you doing?" Eli doesn't extend compassion, but instead he throws out some comments that are relatively judgmental. But Hannah was filled with anguish and grief. That's why she was humbly praying to the Lord. Once Eli listened to her, he realized that she was humbly pouring out her heart to God. He did, though, provide some encouragement as he said, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant you what you've asked for him, what you've asked of him, pardon me." And that piece of it there, there's a couple things that we could pick out that would have been especially encouraging to her. Well, one thing in particular was just that reminder that he is the God of Israel. He is your God. He is the God who cares. By God's grace and mercy, those words brought her comfort, reminding her that God is committed to an Israelite like Hannah. He is the God of Israel, And for us today, he is the God of all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn away from their sins. Both Jew and Greek, European and Métis, Filipino, Scottish, you turn to Christ, he is your God. Turn away from your sins, turn and believe in Jesus Christ. Let's continue reading on here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah didn't go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you," Elkanah, her husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good on his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until he was weaned. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I have asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Thanks to these kind words she eventually received from Eli, she had a significant change in her life and her attitude. Shortly thereafter, with Yahweh's favor, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to Samuel. After she had weaned Samuel, she brought him to Shiloh with the appropriate offerings. Since it was Yahweh who had granted her request, she dedicated her son to the Lord. And so the third thing we notice here this morning is that God promises to hear your prayers and answer according to his will. Many times we don't know or can't comprehend why God does what he does. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? It's all part of his sovereign plan that brings him glory. We often don't understand that. He always, though, hears our prayers. And I venture to say he always answers our prayers in one of three ways. I don't know if I've said this before, if you've heard this before. He always answers every prayer in one of three ways. Yes, no, and later. And so for Hannah, year after year, she'd been praying. And she receives her answer a little later than she was probably anticipating for. Many of us, when we pray, we like to have an answer right now. But here we have, as God does provide an answer. Hannah had received peace from God, and that was the beginning of God working through this miracle in her life. The first thing she did the next morning was she worshiped before the Lord. She had prayed and still continued to worship God. There's times in our lives where we pray for something and it happens and then we just kind of let it be and keep going. I know as I was thinking about this, I'm so encouraged by how she continued to pray, continued to worship. We've been praying for our house to sell, and many of you have been praying along with that, as I mentioned, this past July 31st was possession day for the people who purchased our house. So even though two floods came, they still put an offer on the house. Don't worry, we told them that there had been two floodings in the basement. But our house sold, and we are so thankful for that. But again, we come to a point where even at our mealtimes with our son, we just, as we're praying, thank you, God, for selling our house. Because we are just so thankful. And so many times when God does amazing things in our life, we need to keep that attitude of thankfulness, knowing that he's in control, he is sovereign, and keep coming to worship him. Then they traveled home, and she laid with her husband, and the wheels were in motion for the miraculous fulfillment of her prayer. It's interesting here that the birth of some of the most important people in history is anything but normal. Moses had quite an interesting first few years of life, as he was on an early journey down the river when he was too young to paddle his own boat. Sarah's son Isaac, well, that was kind of a funny story. Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist, left his father speechless. And Jesus' birth, well, that was anything but normal as well. All a miracle. A miracle, just God intervening where the miraculous intervenes with the mundane as God continued throughout the history of the scriptures, and he continues to, throughout our own lives, show up in miraculous ways. God deliberately intervening. God is so big, we can trust him. Psalm 42, verse 11 says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you at turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet again praise him, my salvation and my God." Why did God intervene at such a time as this? Well, I kind of alluded to a little earlier, the nation of Israel was in a mess. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everybody followed common sense. Everybody followed their own opinions. People were not seeking God first for their answers. And so God had begun to raise up someone special to lead the nation. God was beginning to raise up from this new boy Samuel, a righteous king who would lead the people. And so at this time in history, God was answering her prayer, but also many of people's prayer in a very specific way in raising up a leader. According to God's will, by his grace and for his glory, he opened her womb so that she could have a son who would eventually spiritually lead the nation of Israel. Now, she went through some tough stuff year after year, bringing those sacrifices, putting her faith, putting her trust in the Lord, not knowing whether or not how he would answer her prayer, yes or no or later. But year after year, she came. Year after year, she came. And the Lord opened up her womb. And what a joyous celebration it was that it wasn't just that her son would eventually be the leader of the nation of Israel. Just going to reread here verses 24 to 28. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she asked him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I have asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And so in the midst of her pain and struggle and her answer, she worshiped God and she kept her promises. And we as well, fourth thing we can take from this morning, is we must do what we said we'd do. We can keep committed to our promises. Now I know for sure, I've been praying about this, I know for sure that God has not called any of you to bring your 2 or 3 year old child and leave them here at the church for me to raise. I might be the youth and children's pastor, and I'm very thankful when you bring your children. What a joy it is. Having a little two-year-old myself, I'm just enjoying more and more what a joy it is to be able to tell him about Jesus and for him when he remembers who Jesus is and those kind of things. But I'm certain that he hasn't called any of you to do this. But thankful for her faithfulness. Man, I cannot imagine what it would be like to take your 2-year-old son and to leave him at church. Leave him with the pastor to raise for the rest of his life. I really love my boys, as many of you love your families. But that's what she did. She kept faithful to what she said she'd do. There's many times in our lives where we make these promises to God. If you do this, I will come to church every Sunday. If you do this, I will give this much. If you do this, I will do this much. But here what she was doing was following what God had called her to do. As a response for answering her prayer, she committed her son to God. And many of you, I hope all of us, but many of us have made that choice of committing our families, committing our children to God and praying for them. And so for her, it was to bring her son and to leave him at church for the rest of his life, which is amazing. For each of us, we have the opportunity of not just bringing our kids and hoping that kids' own ministries will be the only thing that raises them in the way they should go. But for many of us, we have opportunities of what it looks like to just encourage one another and to encourage our kids to grow in the scriptures. And so even if you don't have children, there's many opportunities outside of families, outside of parenting, of what it looks like to grow and to encourage people in the faith. As there's many brothers and sisters in Christ who need that encouragement, who need that spurring on, who need somebody coming alongside them and saying, "What have you been learning in the scriptures lately? How has God been speaking to you? And how can we, you know, live this out in the next little while?" I know for me, I've been enjoying, as I mentioned, raising our little boys. Yari's 2 and Zeke is 4 months old. I was sitting around the fire on holidays. We had family camp up at Silver Birch Bible Camp just north of, or just around Loon Lake, which is north of North Battleford. And as we're sitting there, I'm thinking, you know, Yari's two, he's pretty young. And I made a statement that I said, I bet you most, there's a few other families that are sitting around the fire. And I said, I bet you there's like no families out there that in their own family, within their own family, they have a Bible memory verse structure, a list of verses that they want their kids to memorize. I know parents like it when their kids do that, but I was thinking, I bet you there's not many families that would actually do that, that have it organized, that have thought through what to teach their kids. And the lady right beside me says, well, I wouldn't go that far. I was like, oh, uh-oh. This lady I was sitting beside, she's been praying through, and as she's read the scriptures, she has picked out verses and made a schedule for her 2-year-old, her 4-year-old, her 6-year-old of what she can challenge them with to memorize each day. And I was thinking, wow, how amazing. I need to get on that as well. I need to follow her example of how she wakes up extra early in the morning, which for many of us wouldn't be that early, but she wakes up a little earlier in the morning so that they can focus their hearts and their minds on the scriptures. Many people are too busy to read their Bibles, but here was a lady who knew the importance of it, of raising her child in the way that they should grow, the way that they should go. And she had planned that. She had put some effort into that. And wow, amazing. So even this past week, I've been, as I sit down to read books with Yari, I make sure to be a little bit more thorough and just thinking through of what it looks like to reread these stories, the history and the scriptures again and again, and remind him. And so now we've been talking about Luke chapter 8, when Jesus calms the wind and the waves. And so I try throughout the day even to say, you know, what did God say when they were scared? And sometimes he'll even answer, calm down. And so I'm so thankful, as even a 2-year-old is able to start to clue into these things. And now I know the vast majority of us here don't have 2-year-olds at home. But there's people we encounter within our life network that do know Christ. There's people that don't know Christ. And we have the privilege of just even praying through, saying, God, how can I encourage people in the scriptures? What does it look like for me to challenge my brothers and sisters in Christ? Not just so that we can have check off 100 verses that we've memorized, but so that we can look to the scriptures and see how we can be transformed by God's word, so that we're not people who just live doing what is right in our own eyes. If you're a believer, a disciple of Jesus, you've promised to turn away from your sin and turn towards God, believing in Jesus Christ. And we must continue to do that, to study the scriptures, to be people who love and be people of love and peace, so that, as we look to the fifth thing, we can praise God in the midst of trials, although that's a tough one, and we can praise him during peace and provision, although that's easy to forget. We can praise God in the midst of trials and during peace and provision. This passage, Hannah's experience, is not a prescription of how to get what you want from God. If you say this many prayers, if you give this much money, you'll get what your heart desires. No, it's not here so that we can blame God for all the bad things that happen in our lives either. One thing is constant throughout this passage of Scripture. God is sovereign. He is so big, we can trust him. In difficult times, it can be easy for us to blame God, and in happy times, it can be easy for us to take all the credit and desire to be the center of attention. But in all things, God is our provider. He alone is the sovereign creator of all things. There are times when God places a desire of his in our heart, or a burden of his in our heart. And there are times when God gives us circumstances and opportunities so that we can align our hearts to his. Even just this, a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking through something, and there was a portion of money that I had handled in a very honorable way, but in my heart was in the wrong spot. And so I realized that what I had done, even though it was great, it was kingdom building, it was fantastic, it was glorious, I knew that my heart wasn't in the right place. And so I had to turn away from my pride and turn towards Christ and to seek forgiveness for that, knowing that we are forgiven through Christ. We need to continue to turn away, even with good motives, turn away from the things that distract us from God and turn towards him. And so the big question for us today, it's in the back of your sermon notes, what is burdening your heart? What has God been speaking to your heart? Now is a great time to even write in something on that. What is burdening your heart? What is heavy on your heart? And if there's nothing burdening your heart, there's nothing that's heavy on your heart, there's no one that you can possibly think of that doesn't know Christ yet, then what we need to do is to be praying that God would force someone into your life to create that opportunity to share with them Jesus Christ. Because the reality is those who place their faith in Christ will be able to enjoy eternity in heaven. And those who don't will spend eternity separated from God in hell. And so these are real truths that we have before us. And so we can be praying into these burdens, these things that are heavy on our hearts, or whatever comes our way. So in fact, I even want to take a moment right now to pray about these things. So maybe you even wrote some things down, maybe not, but let's pray. Father, as we write these things, we pray and we trust them to you. Lead us and guide us of how in the next days, in the next week, and even today, we can live it out. We can trust these things to you. And if there's nothing at all that is burdening our heart, Father, I pray that you would place something within our life, an area of our life that we can just seek you in. Maybe it's a friend or a coworker that we haven't met yet or don't know well yet. Maybe it's new people you're going to bring into our life this week. But we just pray for opportunities to point people towards you. Pray for opportunities that would call us to trust in you more and more. As the difficult things life come in life and as the joyful things come in life, we just know that we need you. So help us, guide us in how we pray. Show us what to pray for. Show us who we can make disciples by your grace for your glory. Show us who we can point towards you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And so now the next big question for us is, what are we going to do about that in the next week here, in the next couple of weeks? If God has laid a burden on your heart, it's great to be able to come and pray. And the next thing that's great is be able to do something about it. So let's pray for that too, and you maybe even want to write something down. Father, we just pray that you would reveal to us how we can live this out in the next week, how we can follow you, how we can point people towards you, how we can just trust our burdens to you. We thank you that we can lift our eyes up to you, where our help comes from, and you lead us and guide us, and you hear our prayers. So show us what you'd have us do today, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The truth is, we can approach God's throne of grace with full access, all because of Jesus. And when we approach God, we receive mercy and grace. He desires for us to turn away from our pride, our anger, our jealousy, our selfish ambition, our empty rituals, and humbly pray before the Creator of all things. We can turn away from the world, reject worldly wisdom, and embrace the transforming grace of God. God continually works his purposes through the everyday affairs of righteous people. Building on her devotion, God provides Israel's future deliverer through Hannah. The chapter is a witness to God's transforming power. He is the one who's in control. He creates a new historical possibility where there was none before. There was no foreseeable hope for that nation, and he showed up with a miracle. Hannah waits and worships in her barrenness, and so did Israel. The answer for both of them was the surprising gift of grace. And so even as we remember that as our missions team went throughout the week, we knew that many of you were praying for us as we had that interesting journey that we were on, and we're so thankful for that. And here, the point of the historical books wasn't just merely to preserve history, but to remind future generations of what God has done and point them towards what God will do. Sometimes we cling so much to the past that we fail to embrace what God is going to do today and tomorrow and the next weeks, months, and years. Lamentations 3:22-26 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So we can learn here from Hannah what it looks like to put your faith in God, to praise him throughout the storms. Put our trust in him, his sovereignty, his rule, and to praise him in the midst of the good times and in the bad. I'm so thankful for the opportunities that I have to serve here at Lawson Heights as coming we arrived in October, so I haven't quite been here a year yet. But just thankful for the opportunities I have. And look forward to the opportunities of working alongside many of you as we point one another towards the Scriptures and even point kids towards the Scriptures. On the back of your bulletin, you'll notice that there's, as there's those questions for you to fill in the blanks that I've already mentioned, there's some other things that you can be thinking about of how you can engage people around you in conversation, maybe how to even engage your children in conversation, maybe how to engage your spouse or whoever you came with, or even just engage the people around you in conversation, and even some scriptures there to take a peek at throughout the week if you feel so inclined as you study the scriptures. I know many people have a plan of how they study the scriptures daily. But here's just a suggestion of some things that you can do to either add to that, or maybe that's something you want to continue to think about. We want to continue to focus on the scriptures. God is so big that we can trust him.